Everyone, I am so thankful to have been invited to be here with you these few days. I trust that what I've shared with you in each of the presentations have been encouraging, but most of all, I hope what I've said has been biblical. I didn't come here to share with you a new paradigm or new theories, but just simply God's Word. And I'm very appreciative to have had this opportunity during this afternoon to share with you something that's important to me when it comes to talking about relationships. I have several relationships that I value deeply. The one that I value the most is my relationship with God. I value my relationship with God. And I've been trying for many years to try to keep that relationship with my Father. The second relationship that I value deeply is with my wife of 30 years. 3 years we dated and 30 years of married life. And it's my prayer that God will allow us to stay together 33 plus years together, in addition to the 33 that we've been together already. Thirdly, I value my relationship with my children, my three boys, my three sons, Eric, Jared, and of course, Will, you've gotten to know. And I want them to value their relationship with me. I value my relationship with my parents and with other relatives that are related to me. I value my relationship with my church family, with you. I value my relationships. And so what I've been talking about in this afternoon is what can we do to enhance, to improve our relationships with others. And I've entitled this RCP of Human Relationships. RCP, Roller Coaster Profile, a Roller Coaster Perspective of relationships. And what that simply means is this: in all relationships, there are some ups and there are some what? Downs. And I call the downs the challenges. There are challenges with all relationships. Some challenges are more devastating than others. And yet, in the midst of those challenges, you have to remember those ups. Those are the good points and good times and relationships. But what can we do in the midst of when our relationships are going through those difficult times, those turbulence times? What can we do to get our relationship back up? And as soon as you get it back up to where you want it, it's just a matter of time. It could be 6 months. It could be 5 years. It could be 10 years. You're going to hit one of those low moments again in your life, even in your spiritual life. Has there ever been a time when you thought about quitting the church? I have. Long time ago. That was before my relationship with God was fully developed. Have you ever thought about quitting anything? That's normal. That's predictable. It occurs with us all in things. But we have to fight through those times of discouragement to get whatever relationship that we're in that is causing us stress, that is causing us dissatisfaction. What can we do to enhance it, to get it back up? All relationships have their share of ups and downs. All relationships can be improved. All relationships can be improved. And improvement occurs when a change takes place. And the change must take place in the what we call a cognitive thinking process, the CTP. The CTP, your cognitive thinking. If you're going to change your behavior, first, there must be an alteration in the way you think. Amen? Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man, as a woman, as a person thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I want to change my outward behavior, I have to change my inward thinking. If I'm going to have a better relationship with my wife, I've got to stop thinking negative. Therefore, I have to change the way I'm going to think about her. The way I think about my son, the way I think about the church, the way I think about God. There is some truth in the statement or in the analogy. The way you see things in life can greatly influence the way you are. A glass can be perceived as half full or half empty. The way you perceive it will determine a lot in life. I like to go through life thinking the glass is half full rather than thinking life is always on the blink. And so what I've shared with you and is thus far has been 8 biblical insights, 8 biblical principles for when your marriage, when your relationship with your children, when your relationship with other people are at that low point in life, what can you do to make things better? I've shared with you eight. So let me rehearse very quickly the eight that we've covered thus far and then give you four. And you'll have 12 biblical insights, 12 biblical principles for improving, for enhancing, for having a successful and loving relationship. Number one, you have to what? Value. You have to treasure your relationship. If you're going to keep your relationship with your wife or with your children, with your grandchildren, with whomever, you must treasure it. It must be something that's dear to you. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 21, where a person's heart is, there is what? Treasure would be also. If your heart is in your relationship, you're going to put forth the energy. You're going to put forth the time to do whatever it takes to make that relationship better. If your relationship with God needs improving, if God has your heart, you're going to stay there until you become spiritually stronger. Number two, you must never stop dreaming. You must never stop believing things are going to get better. Jesus says, if thou believest, all things are possible, then all things are possible to him that what? Believe it. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 26. With men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are what? Possible. Is it possible that my marriage can get better? If I don't believe it's going to get better, guess what? I'm already defeated. If I don't believe I'm going to get spiritually stronger, I'm already defeated. I must believe. And that's what dreaming is. Dreaming is visualizing it getting better. Dreaming and it is not only visualizing, but it's planning. It's strategizing for it to get better because you know that it's going to get better. Number three, you must be willing to make sacrifices. We talked about that poem entitled The Cold Within. What killed those six men is not the cold weather. What killed those six men was their inability to give up their logs that could have been used for their survival. But because they held on tight to their six logs, all six of those men died. What do you need to give up today that will make your relationship with your husband or your wife better? What do you need to give up today that will make your relationship with your children or with your grandchildren better? What do you need to let go of that will make your relationship with God better? You see, the problem is not with God. God hadn't changed. The problem is with whom? You and me. And then number four, it's not enough to make sacrifices. Number four, we must, and I may get these out of order, but I think number four was that we must take the time to share our feelings. We must take the time to share our feelings. Communicate. Tell the person that you're talking with or in a relation with how much you love her. I try as often as I can to remind Rhonda with my words as well as with my actions how much I love her. Men, let me give you something and tell you something that's very inexpensive. Words are powerful to a female. You can go out and buy her diamonds and she'll take every one of them. Okay? But you know what doesn't cost you anything and she wants to hear more than having diamonds or a new car or a new house? The words, I love you. The words, I need you. The words, I can't live without you. Words are powerful. And for a relationship to maintain, you must communicate positive words. Be careful how you talk to your children. Be careful how you talk to others. It's not so much what you say, it's how you say it. It's how you say it. I know how to get breakfast at 5:30 in the morning. Rhonda, please, I would love to have some bacon and eggs. Or I can say, Rhonda, get up out of this bed and go cook my breakfast. Now, I can say it that way. And Rhonda will probably get up and go and prepare. But I better not eat it. That's the only thing I can say. She'll get up, she'll go through all the motion. But when I get through eating that, boy, if something's in it, I know. So be careful. Be careful how you communicate with each other. Number four, that was number five, but number four, or we'll say number five, is to let go and live. Let go and live. Be willing to forgive and let bygones be what? Bygones. We talked about scorekeeping. Don't scorekeep. Don't keep bringing up stuff that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You know, we will have better relationship if we just let go. We're over here in life, but we're still back here in mind. Remembering and reminding people of mistakes they have made. When you forgive someone, let it go. That's how relationship grows, is that you stop bringing up mistakes. I am so thankful that I can talk about the mistakes I made early in our marriage. But Rhonda doesn't talk about them. She doesn't remind me of the time that we had, when we first got married, we purchased a brand new car, a Cutlass Sierra. Cutlass Sierra. I'll never forget that. Green, dark green. It was a beautiful car. And I used to get out there and wax and shine. And about that time, we finished paying for it, financing for 4 years. And about the time we finished paying for it, gas went from something like 39 cents a gallon to 79 cents a gallon. And that old Cutlass was only getting about 12 or 13 miles a gallon. And I said, I got to get rid of this gas guzzle. And so I traded it in and got a Toyota Corolla. In the month of June, getting 42 miles a gallon. Didn't have an air conditioner in it, but that's okay. I was getting 42 miles a gallon. I'll never forget the first time we drove up to church on Sunday morning in our new Cutlass, brown Toyota Corolla. It was cool that morning. And that preacher went in and we had service and got out. You know, that long-winded preacher, we didn't get out to about 12:45 or 1 o'clock. And they got into that Toyota Corolla at 1 o'clock. And that car that was paid for, that was getting 13 miles a gallon, had a nice, cool air conditioner in it. And that sweet wife of mine didn't say anything. And it had a sunroof, too. And all I was letting in at June was heat. And my wife looked at me, and she said with her eyes, oh, we had a car. It was paid for. But no, Mr. Jones, who's the head of the house, had to go down there and trade it in. Ah, she didn't say it, but her eyes said it to me. Oh, Mr. Jones, the man down there tried to tell us, don't trade it in. But no, Mr. Jones, who's the head of the house, who's making all the decisions, he traded it in. Oh, we kept that car for about 3 weeks. Traded it back in, got another Toyota Corolla with air. It only got 36 miles a gallon, but guess what? We had air conditioning. But she doesn't remind me of that. She did for about 2 months. But in a relationship, you have to let go and live. Number six, don't get too busy in life that you don't take the time to express appreciation, to say thank you, to say thank you to your husband, to say thank you to your wife, to say thank you to your children, to say thank you to your grandchildren. They can be doing a lot of things that are worse than what you may be experiencing with them, but you ought to be thankful that they are where they are. One of my favorite movies of all time, is about a girl and a mother. Favorite movie. I'll never forget the first time I watched the movie. And I sat there and I cried all the way through the movie about how a mother could love a daughter so much. Oh, this mother loved this daughter and would do anything for this daughter. But this daughter was despised. Mom was embarrassed of mom and did everything she could. And she broke mom's heart and mom died. And then here come that girl at the funeral. Oh, mama couldn't hear. Mom had sacrificed to give that girl everything she wanted. But that girl never appreciated mom. You already figured out the movie, some of you. Imitation of Life. Oh, I tell you, to this day, when I watch that movie, I cry. How can a child put mom through life? But you keep on. And that mother never stopped until the day she died. She never gave up. Don't give up on family members. Amen. And don't ever, regardless of what they do, regardless of what they say, you keep on expressing appreciation. Number seven, die to self. I know how to make Rhonda happy. That I spend my life focused in on Rhonda's needs, not my needs. That's how you make a marriage better. It's not about me. It's not about Sammy. It's about God. It's about others and not about me. And we talked about the importance of being dead to self. And that's what Jesus stated in Matthew 16, verse 24, that we're to come after him and take up the cross and remain dead to self. That's paraphrasing it, but that, still the point is still there. And then number eight, we talked on yesterday, is to be honest. To be a person of integrity in relationship. Relationships that last a lifetime are those that's based on trust. Trust. I'm thankful that I can trust God. I know he's going to be there for me. I know it. There's no doubt in my mind. There's not a trial that Satan can place before me this day or tomorrow. I know with full confidence that whatever Satan throws at me today, I can handle. Because God's going to be there every step of the way. I know that Rhonda is going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. There's not a man on earth that can take Rhonda away from me. Because she loves me. Not because I'm such a great man. It's because she loves me. And the same way, she knows I love her. And there's not a woman on this earth that can take me away from her. And we have trust. And when you have trust in relationship, there's nothing that you can't handle. Trust is so important. Now, very quickly, with the 10 minutes that's left, 8 minutes left, let me mention four additional things you need in order to have a loving, successful relationship. Number nine, you need to take time to be reflective. Reflective. What do you mean being reflective? Reflective means take time to remember the good days, the good times. You know, Satan's most effective tool today to destroy relationships is for you to focus only on the present. You forget all the wonderful times you've had in that marriage, all the wonderful time you've had with those children, all the wonderful times you've had with the grandchildren, and all of a sudden one bad incident occurs, and you just stop living and just focus there for the rest of your life. Relationships that grow are when people take time to reflect. Yes, we're going through a great time, but you know what? There was a time when we were on cloud nine. If you read the book of Deuteronomy, you know what Moses is trying to do in that book? Over and over and over, if you read through that book, he challenged him to do two things. Number one, remember. Remember. Before you go into the promised land, you need to remember. And then the second thing he says, don't forget. Parallel with one another. Don't forget the Lord thy God. Don't forget how good God has been to you. And remember. Satan, most effective tool in the church today is to cause us to forget. Forget. Forget how wonderful life has been, and we focus in on one teeny bitty incident and we think the world is coming to an end. Oh, stop. Stop and reflect. Remember how things used to be. Now, go back and look at those eight that I've already mentioned and try to do what you can to get it back to that point. That means you got to let go of some things. That means you have to change your way of thinking. But take the time to remember. Remember. It's not enough to remember number 10. Number 10 says that not only do we take the time to reflect, but take the time to pray. Pray shows that you're leaning your dependencies upon God. And you need someone wiser than yourself. You know, sometimes we think we know all the answers. I'm here to tell you, we don't. And we need to look up to God. And that's the challenge there, is that we look to God who is able. Let me give you three of my most comforting verses. I have so many, but let me give you three. And when I'm down, when I'm going through a challenge, and when a relationship or anything in life, there are three verses that I read often. The first one, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse number 2. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 2. What Paul is saying to the saints there in verse 3, you're familiar with the verse. And he says it like this. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. But he tells them to look to God, and here's the reason why. God is able. God is able to do what? Beyond your wildest dream. beyond what you can imagine, beyond what you can comprehend. He is able to, King James says, to exceedingly. He can exceed any of your expectations. God is able. And if God is able, why not pray to him? God, help me in my relationship with God. Help me to want to see his face. Help me to want to go to heaven. Help me to want to do his will. And if I don't believe God can help me, I'm a doomed person anyway. God, help my marriage. Oh, there were times when Ron and I were going through some, and I think back 29 years ago. I can laugh about it now, but it was not a laughing matter. I mean, I was angry and I was upset because Rhonda didn't live up to my expectations. I mean, I was upset. I mean, my expectation is this: I'm the head of the house. You do what I tell you to do. I mean, really loving, really a Christian about it all. Oh, any other woman would have left me, but Rhonda saw the potential in me. And I know she was praying to God, God, please change this man. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him just as sure as my name, Ron. I'm going to kill him if he comes here one more time and tell me to make this bed up for the fourth time because there's a little wrinkle in it. I'm going to kill him. I almost ruined my marriage because the house wasn't clean to my satisfaction. The shirt wasn't ironed the way I wanted it to be ironed. The meal didn't taste like I wanted it to. It was all about me. Rhonda was praying, God, please change us. And I was praying to God, please change Rhonda. God, please change Rhonda. She doesn't know any better. She doesn't know how to do this. Instead of saying, God, please change me, I encourage you to lean on God. A second verse that I often go to is Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. You know the story there about Sarah when she was told by God she was going to have, by an angel, she was going to have a baby. She laughed and the angel responded, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything that God can't do? Can God not make your marriage better? You said, hold, we're just 2 months away from ending this relationship. There's no way. With man is not possible. But with God, what? All things are possible. Oh, I could be more dedicated to the church, but that's just this one situation that's keeping me. And I just can't let it go, Brother Jones. You know why? You don't want to let it go. Because with God, all things are possible. Amen. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. And I believe is verse number 12. Second Chronicles, chapter 20, and verse number 12. I wished I had time to deal with the whole chapter because at the lowest moment in my life, one of the low moments of my life, when I thought Rhonda was going to die from lupus, this verse here gave me the greatest comfort. When the king realized he was about to be attacked by multiple nations, he didn't know what to do. And he said, I believe it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, as he led the Israelites in a prayer, he said, God, paraphrasing, we're in a situation and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. In other words, God, I'm looking to you in difficult moments in relationship. Learn to trust in God and stay away from friends trying to tell you how to run your relationship. Amen. Let me run that by you again. Child, if I were married to a man like that, I wouldn't do anything. That's why you're not married. All right? No, just kidding. Don't say that to him. But be careful how you let other people advise you. Let God advise you. That's why you read your word of God and you pray in difficult times and let God direct you. And that's why number 10 is so important that we learn to pray. Number 11. It's not enough to pray, but establish some rules. Establish some rules that will govern your behavior and decisions in the midst of disagreements. Set down some rules. Don't you wait till a problem occurs. You need to start doing that now. And when we have a disagreement, this is how we're going to manage this. This is how we're going to address this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 26. Here are two rules here that I encourage in every relationship that you follow these two, and I wish I had time, I would give you eight more. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26, it says, be angry, but sin not. If you're going to get in a relationship with someone, you're going to get upset. Amen. It is impossible for two people to get in the room and stay there long enough, and over a process of time, something's not said where you disagree with. But don't what? Don't allow your anger to cause you to say something or do something that's not going to enhance the relationship. It's all right to get upset. But don't allow your anger to cause you to say something or do something or hit. That's the first rule. Second rule, don't stay mad at one another. One of the wonderful things about being married to Rhonda, and I'm glad she doesn't mind me talking about her, is that she has a great sense of humor. And I have one as well. That if she gets mad at me, she knows I'm going to play some kind of practical joke on her. And she doesn't like, to this day, for me to tickle her. And you haven't laughed until you hear Rhonda laugh. All right? And when you start tickling her, she starts laughing. Now, that's all I'm going to go. She knows what I can tell, what else goes with the laughing, but I'm going to stop there. All right? Because I want to go to the room. All right? But the point is, she's gotten mad at me and I've gotten mad at her. But in our 30 years of married life, we have a policy. We have a rule. We don't stay mad at one another. We don't stay mad. Now, we may go to bed with it not all resolved, but at least we're going to go to bed sleeping together. Amen? In 30 years, I've never slept on a couch by choice. I mean, by let me run that by you again. Woo! I've never slept on a couch by force. All right? Okay, let me run that by choice. That one didn't come out right. Okay? I've never slept on a couch by force. And I've told Rhonda that, you know, and I'm not going to force you to sleep on the couch. No, I'm not going to sleep on the couch. You get angry at me, you want someone to go sleep on the couch, you're welcome to go. But I'm not going out there on the couch. Well, we paid for the bed together, we're going to sleep in the bed together. And in our 30 years, we've always have slept together. You know why? Because, yes, we have gotten upset with one another. I would not stand before you and lie that we've been upset. I mean, we've been mad enough, as I mentioned to you on Monday, enough to body slam one another. But you know what? We let it go. In relationship, you have to have the ability to let it go. And finally, my time is gone. Number 12, and that is to love unconditionally. I want to close with 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse number 8. Love will cover a multitude of sins. What that means is when you truly love someone, when you unconditionally love someone, you can let go of anything. But when you really don't love a person, you keep on saying, well, I'm going to forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. God truly loves us. And because he truly loves us, he lets go of our mistakes. Relationships are meaningful. No man, no woman is an island. We need others. But there are some biblical principles that are necessary to keep relationship flowing. All relationships have problems. All relationships can be improved. But the improving starts with me changing my cognitive thinking process. I've enjoyed these opportunities to share these insights with you. I don't know if they've been any help to you, but these things have helped me to stay married for 30 years. And I believe as long as Rhonda keep teaching me these things, we're going to stay married another 30 years. May God bless you, and may you have the rich marriage that God wants you to have. Thank you.